How do you do? Imagine falling in love with someone from another country when you don't speak the same language and can't communicate. Yet, love can overcome incredible obstacles. In fact, love never fails, as the man in this story discovered when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Sending the good news around the world through dramatic true life stories, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Few of us have ever been so hungry that we would eat from garbage cans, but street people sometimes do when there's no other choice. With no home and no job, they survive however they can. Well, in Chicago, desperate people can come to Pacific Garden Mission and receive nourishing meals, clean clothing, and a safe bunk for the night, as well as visit the medical and dental clinic, and all without charge. Bible classes and counseling and work around the mission teach a new way to live. To help the homeless even more, mission pastors introduce them to the one person who can transform their lives permanently. And those who choose his ways never hunger again. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2538 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Look at that pretty girl over there, Lars. The one dancing with that big fella?
Yeah, she's a beauty, all right.
Oh, I'd love to dance with her.
It's a free country. Go ask her.
I don't know. I think they're together. She's danced every dance with him.
I've never seen her before. Do you think they're Danish?
Oh, I hope so. Otherwise, I won't be able to talk to her.
Look, he left her alone. I think I'll try my luck.
If you don't, I will.
Oh, no, you don't. I saw her first.
Well?
I think the big guy's her brother, but she doesn't speak Danish or English either.
Where's she from?
I don't know. I couldn't understand a word she said, but she really can dance.
You two have a problem if you can't communicate.
Oh, we communicate. She likes me, I can tell. And I really like her.
Yeah?
I'm going to take her home.
How are you going to work that out?
I'll find a way.
Where there's a will, there's a way, and the man in our story was not lacking in will. He had only to find the way. Born in 1901, he grew up in Denmark, the 10th of 11 children. At 17, he left home for Copenhagen, beginning an adventure that would lead him into darkness. This is the story of how he came to the light, the true story of John Christensen right now on Unshackled.
In Copenhagen, I worked as a bartender and fell in with a bunch of thieves. We picked locks and stole things late at night. I didn't want to be arrested and shame my family, so in 1920, I signed on as a fireman with a freighter going to America, where two of my older brothers lived. I didn't even have time to say goodbye to my family. When we reached Norfolk, Virginia, I jumped ship.
You're not going back to get your stuff.
No, come on. Let's get out of here.
You don't even have shoes on yet.
I know, but I don't dare go back and get them.
You're just leaving all your belongings behind.
I have no choice.
You got your passport, I hope.
Yeah, you bet. Right here in my pocket.
It's only good for 24 hours. How far can we get in a day?
Far enough. Maybe we'll get lucky.
My buddy and I hitchhiked to Baltimore. And from there, I made my way to Kenosha, Wisconsin, where my brothers had immigrated several years earlier from Denmark.
Jan! Jan, you found us!
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
What happened to your shoes?
I left them behind when I jumped ship.
You came all this way barefoot?
Yeah.
The police arrested me a few times, and I always showed them my passport, but they never looked beyond the first page.
Oh, wait till Hans hears about this. Good brother, the criminal.
Gosh, I don't mind being in jail. At least it was a place to sleep. And sometimes a good meal.
So,
How do you like America?
It's so big. I thought I'd never get here.
Oh, your English is not so good. It's a wonder you made it.
People are very kind here. Once I stopped at a farm in Canton, Ohio, and they let me work for a while. That's how I got the money for the train ticket here.
Well, come on. Let's see if we can find you a pair of shoes.
My brother took me to the Danish Brotherhood Hall, where I met Jenny, who had just arrived from the Netherlands, and, like me, spoke no English. Neither did we speak each other's language, so neither of us knew what the other was saying. But after a few dates to an ice cream parlor, we fell in love. Her family did not approve.
They're taking her away?
To a ranch in Montana. Where is Montana?
Oh, that's somewhere. Pretty far, I think.
They're just trying to keep us apart.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. My English isn't good enough to get a job yet.
Jobs are scarce around here, even if you speak English.
Yeah, then I think I'll tour the country. For the next year and a half, I traveled all over the country. I was arrested for hopping trains in Denver, Des Moines, and Salt Lake City, but no one questioned my passport, and I was always released after a night in jail and a free meal. So I was also learning English and finally made my way back to Kenosha. Once there, I sent Jenny a train ticket, asking her to marry me. Now or never, I wrote. She arrived, and we eloped.
I am so happy, Jan.
Me too, Jenny. We talk good now, yeah?
Before we meet, I am very sad. I tell my family I won't go back to Holland. I will walk over the ocean if there is a bridge. But then I fall in love with you. Then won't I stay here?
We are happy together, Jenny. I am finding a good job now soon.
Yeah, Jan, that is good.
And your family, you think they're happy too?
Nay, Jan. A good Dutch girl will not run away and be married.
They become angry at you?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Angry.
I'm sorry, Jenny. Someday I make a good life for you. Our first year of marriage, we had a baby girl. The next year, a baby boy. The third year, another boy was born to us, working as an unskilled laborer. I had enough to get by, but I wanted to buy things for my wife and family, so I began to play cards, hoping to win money. Then I tried horses, but before I knew it, my paycheck was gone, and I had to borrow money.
There is not much here to eat, John. I need to buy food.
Well, I'm sorry, Jenny. I don't have any money right now.
What happened with your paycheck?
I had to pay some guy I owed.
What about us?
I'll come up with some money. Be patient.
But the children need food.
If this company just had better wages...
And maybe you can find a job somewhere else.
It's the same everywhere, Jenny. We need to organize a labor union.
You tried that already.
I wrote the AFL, but they don't care about unskilled labor. Maybe the communists will help us.
That is dangerous, Sean. Please do not.
We have to do something. I got in touch with a group of communists from Milwaukee, and we held a meeting in my home. Jenny objected, but I prevailed.
So you'd say you've already taken part in a labor dispute?
A couple of years ago, I was working for Nash Motor Company, then went before the board of directors with my complaint. I won, too.
Yeah, what did you win?
Well, they offered me almost any job I wanted, but I didn't work for them after that. I quit.
Yeah, they're all alike. These capitalists exploit the workers. Long hours, low pay.
I can't even feed my family right.
You go before the board and make your demands. If they refuse, then we call a strike.
I think the other men will go along with the walkout.
Yeah, but we'll be there for sure.
I succeeded in getting my department to strike, but the movement ended there. Because I involved the communists, I was labeled one of them, and the manufacturers blacklisted me. I couldn't get a job anywhere, so we moved to Chicago, because it was a big city with greater job opportunities. We rented a three-room apartment that didn't even have a bathroom on the fourth floor of an old building in Chicago. In those days, marathon dancing was big, and Jenny and I both worked as trainers, day and night in the Mary Garden Ballroom. Oh, the work was exhausting.
John, when you finish today, will you go home and check on the children? I made soup for them.
I can't, Jenny. I promised to meet a guy.
But they need you.
Look, they're old enough to take care of themselves.
Hank is only five. Surely you can spare a few minutes.
All right, all right. All you do is worry.
Make sure they do their schoolwork, John. I won't get off till midnight.
I said I'd do it.
I am exhausted.
All right, I gotta go now. It's time for my act. I performed 10 minutes of acrobatics every day in the dance hall. But I had another act. Deceiving my wife and pretending I was hard at work when I was actually gambling. Oh, I knew every card game, every horse, every bookie. But I didn't know that my wife was close to having a breakdown.
Jean, talk to me.
I'm tired, Jenny.
I am tired, too. Tired of everything.
Ah, complain time again.
There is no one else to tell. I don't know anyone here.
Get out and meet people. I do.
I took the children to the park today. People had picnic baskets. Poor Jack. He walked around looking at everyone eating and said, "Why don't we ever have a picnic?" "Someday," I said, "but we'll never have a picnic."
What do you want me to do, huh? I work hard.
There is no hope. None. Things will never be any different. What have I done?
Knock it off, Jenny.
I cannot take any more.
What are you doing? Get away from that window. Jenny?
Oh, let me go. I don't want to live.
In a moment, we'll learn the outcome of this struggle between life and death. We delight in the visitors who come to Pacific Garden Mission and hope you will soon be one of them. Whether you come alone or with your family or even as part of a group from your church, any time is fine with us, but if you come on Saturday afternoon, you can be part of the audience as we produce one of these Unshackled stories. Now, one of our staff will give you a guided tour of all the facilities, answer questions you may have, and invite you to stay for supper after the Unshackled production. And you won't want to miss the evening praise and testimony time either. If being here in person is out of the question, but you have a computer and are online, then visit us at our website, www.unshackled.org. You can order booklets and cassettes, learn about our various ministries, and even listen to a complete Unshackled production of your choice. If you've never been to the old lighthouse, you're in for a treat. So stop by soon. For more information, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
I tried to jump from the fourth floor window, but John held me back. I had no hope for the future, no hope at all. I couldn't even go to my family because they blamed me for marrying him in the first place. I was deeply troubled. And then the Great Depression hit, and things got even worse. John couldn't find work anywhere.
I signed up for relief today. Waited for hours. The line stretched for blocks. There must have been thousands of men.
How much will they give you?
$55 a month. Won't go far, will it?
Well, it is better than nothing.
I'll have to work for it. I'll be a watchman with the railroad on the south side.
The south side?
That's how they do it. The men in the north have to work in the south, and the men in the south have to work in the north. Makes work for the transit authority that way.
Well, it is something, Jean. Be glad of that.
I have to get up at 4 a.m. and be outside in the cold all day. I hate it already.
The period from 1930 to 1934 were the worst 4 years of my life. We were always hungry, and Jean was always gone. He was crabby all the time and never smiled because he hated his job. One night, I decided to end my life and the children's lives, too. As I gave them a bath in the old washtub and put them to bed, I was crying hard, but they were used to that. I stuffed rags under the door so the gas couldn't escape, then went to the kitchen to turn on the stove. But the knob wouldn't move. As I struggled, this strange thought came to me. If you take their lives, you will go to one place and they will go to another. Could this be true? I decided to wait 2 weeks to see if I could determine if this was really true. Whether it was true or not, I would only wait 2 weeks and then go through with my plot. Nearly hysterical, I walked to the mantel and looked at the picture of John's parents. They cried, "How can you beautiful-looking people have a son so terrible?" A week later, something extraordinary happened to Jean at work.
Good morning.
What's so good about it? Life is miserable, and it'll never get any better.
You're right. Things won't get better until Jesus comes back.
What?
Don't you know that Jesus is coming again?
I never heard of such a thing.
Now let me show you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you... Wait here. You read the rest.
I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Now look at Acts chapter 1, verse 11.
This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Do you know who this Jesus is?
What do you mean?
He's the one that supplies the air you breathe and the water you drink. The Gospel of John says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Is that true?
Yes. These things cannot be understood unless you're born again. You see, we're all sinners, and God says the wages of sin is death. So he sent Christ Jesus to die in our place on the cross so we could be saved. But that's not the end of the story. He rose from the dead just as he will raise you from your sins. Read this.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Would you like to be saved? To know the Savior?
There's no hope for a fellow like me.
It doesn't matter what you've done. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
All sin?
Spell that word.
A-L-L.
That evening, I looked out the window and saw John walking up the street. I always dreaded to see him come home, but this time he was smiling. I wondered if he had been promoted.
Hello, Jenny.
You look so happy. What has happened?
I met a man today that told me Jesus is coming again.
Oh, you're crazy. They crucified him 2,000 years ago.
Wait, wait. Do we have a Bible?
Yeah, back here in the closet somewhere. An old woman gave me one years ago. Said it would comfort me. Huh, some comfort. It was good until I got through all those wars. I had enough trouble of my own without reading about theirs. Here.
Okay. Now look at this verse he showed me in John chapter 14.
I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, that's beautiful. I have never seen it before.
Let's hurry up and eat so I can read some more.
How did you meet this man?
On the job. His name is Mr. Evans. He's from Scotland. He told me, if you believe in Jesus, his blood takes away every sin. Think of it, Jenny. A man would have to be a fool to refuse something like that. So, I became a Christian today.
You did?
Yes. God offers everyone eternal life.
Instead of going out after dinner, as he always did, John sat in his chair and read the Bible. Every so often he would say, "This is beautiful." I tried many times to get him to come to bed. Finally, I fell asleep. At midnight, I woke up and thought, "That rascal snuck out." So I peeked out and saw him kneeling by his chair, weeping so hard and praying.
Oh, God. Oh, God, I've lived such a terrible life. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Please make me a better husband, Lord. Make me a better father. I want to be like you, Jesus. Oh, how I need your wisdom.
Every night after dinner, John sat and read the Bible. One night I threw my shoe at him. The old John would have thrown it back, but he just smiled at me. The next day he came home with a tract for me to read, and I read it after he went to work and followed the instructions that was given. I couldn't wait for John to get home that day.
Jenny, I'm home.
John, I got it.
You did?
Yes. I sat right down in the same chair where you read the Bible, and I read that paper. It said I should put my name in the verse. So I did. See? "For God so loved Jenny that he gave his only begotten son, that if Jenny believeth in him, she should not perish but have everlasting life."
Oh, Jenny, I can tell you're saved.
I kneeled right down by that chair and asked him to save me.
Jenny, Mr. Evans would come on Saturday to answer any questions you may have.
I would love it.
Oh, yeah. Good.
John, there is something you should know. 2 weeks ago, I tried to end my life and the children's by turning on the gas.
Jenny.
The gas knob wouldn't turn, and a voice seemed to say in my heart, they would go to one place and I would go to another. So I waited to see if this was true.
Oh, thank God, Jenny. Thank God.
You tell that man. The whole family wants him to teach us the Bible.
Won't it be wonderful to celebrate Christmas next year, Jenny?
Oh, yes. Now I know why Jesus was born.
And when he was born, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Do you know why?
No.
Those were the clothes they wound around the dead. God was showing that even from his birth, the Lord Jesus was destined to die for the sins of the world.
I didn't know that.
He is called the Lamb of God because he was sacrificed for our sins. Old Testament law required the shedding of blood to wash away sin.
Ah, the Lamb of God.
Take your family to the stockyards next Saturday, John. You'll see that all the animals make a lot of noise, but not the sheep.
Is that right?
Isaiah 53, verse 7, describes the Lord Jesus as he was led to his crucifixion. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth.
I want everyone to know about Jesus.
Then let's have a weekly Bible study. Invite anyone you want.
Our Bible study grew until we had 56 people in our little apartment. One of my brothers in Christ helped me to get a good job where he worked. As I studied God's word, I wanted to preach on street corners so others could be saved. But I knew that first I had to make amends.
So you owe a lot of people. I always wondered why we were so poor.
You have no idea what a cheat I was, Jenny. I gambled away my paycheck and then borrowed from everyone around.
Well, it's only right to pay it back.
How could I stand on street corners and preach the gospel when there might be someone in the crowd who could point and say I still owed him money? I'd be a hypocrite.
I see what you mean. You will have to repay them little by little, I suppose. We will just have to eat cheap.
We already eat cheap.
How much do you think our debts add up to?
500 to one guy, 160 to another, and then there's two guys in Kenosha I owe 120 each.
Oh, so much.
Sorry, Jenny. I'm going to Kenosha after I get paid on Friday.
Yes?
You know who I am?
No. I've never seen you before.
Look closer, Nick.
Do you know me?
I borrowed $120 off you some years back.
Oh, you must be mistaken. I don't know you.
I'm Jan Christensen, and I've come back to pay some of the money.
Jan Christensen? Well, you don't look the same at all. Why are you doing this?
Because I followed the teaching of Jesus Christ now. The Bible says we should owe no man anything but love. I only have $75 now, but I'll get the rest.
John, the loan company where we borrowed the money has been liquidated. You can't repay anything.
That's how it went. I was able to make restitution in some cases, but not in others. We were desperately poor during that year of repayment, living on pea soup every day, which Jenny discovered was the cheapest meal she could make. On Sunday, we added sausage to the soup. I was promoted to supervisor on the night shift, and that's when I came against the last big hurdle.
They asked to see your citizenship papers. What did you tell them?
The truth. I told them how I jumped a ship in Norfolk, and I've been in the country illegally ever since.
Oh, Jean, what happens now?
Don't worry, Jenny. God will see us through this. Look how my friend at work took care of all those old accusations against me from Kenosha. He told me today that he's destroyed all the stuff about me being a communist.
But you are dealing with the government now.
I'm going to see the immigration people tomorrow. I should have done this a long time ago. I know God will help me. God did help me, and within a year I became an American citizen. That same year, God gave us another daughter. We moved to California and became very active in our church and shared our testimony with thousands of people over the years. In 1972, Jenny and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, made possible by the Lord Jesus, who said, "I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep."
John died on April 12, 1975, while waiting to speak at a couple's banquet. His appointment calendar was always full, but providentially, there were no dates booked beyond April 12th. Jenny continued to serve the Lord until her death on June 7th, 1990. Listening friend, the life-changing love of the Savior is for you, too. If you'd like to belong to Him, all you have to do is ask. Believe in your heart that His death on the cross covers your sin and ask Him into your heart and life right now. He's always listening. Romans chapter 10, verse 10 assures us, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2538. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write soon. Hearing from you is the highlight of our day. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You're not alone in a crisis. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.